The first public hearing is ordinance 2025-14, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough 2-1, rezoned with a condition precedent government lot 21, parcel number 01-010-430, from open space recreational to single family and home, and 2, to rezone lot 4, block A, Skylark 2 subdivision, plat number 90-14, parcel number 01-010-243, from single family residential to open space recreational, and government lot 13, from public use to open space recreational. Any public testimony regarding ordinance 2025-14 should be given at this time. Do we have anybody that wants to talk to that order? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to move on with the second public hearing. It's ordinance number 2025-15, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2026 budget for known changes. Any public testimony regarding ordinance 2025-15 should be given at this time. And a copy of the ordinance is found online and is part of the record. Is there anybody that wants to talk to the known changes in funding? Again, seeing none, I'll move on. Tonight, there's one bid award, freezer floor repair, Mountain View Manor elderly housing intent to award. Mountain View Manor Director Lopez requests approval to award the elderly housing freezer floor repair project to Steelhead Enterprises in an amount not to exceed $40,000. A memo from Director Lopez with the bidder information for the November 7th, 2025 bid opening is attached to the meeting packet. Do I have a motion to approve that award?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Stanton Gregor, second by Member Miyuchi. Discussion. Okay, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Miyuchi?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. Okay, with that, it passes unanimously. Moving on to the next item, persons to be heard related to the agenda. Is there anybody tonight that wants to talk about items on tonight's agenda? Okay. I don't see anybody raising their hand, so I'll move on to persons.
Is the towers now on the agenda? Because I was waiting for towers.
Okay. Give me a minute to move on, then yes.
Okay.
Then now we're looking to persons to be heard on related to the agenda. And so you're on, Judy.
Okay. I just want to always talk in the right place.
Yeah.
Judy Omer, and again, about the towers. I just wanted to give a quick update that the issue hasn't seemed to go away with anybody I've talked with. And what we're still doing is continuing to collect signatures, and we will keep doing that. Just saying, we want to keep the towers in the safest areas they can be if the towers are determined to come in here. And we want to keep them away from childcare centers and assisted living facilities, schools, neighborhoods, one of which is Papke's Landing, hoping to relocate that by some kind of trade of the borough or whatever, so they're not right smack in the middle of houses where one house is like 50 feet away from where the tower will be. It's dangerous. The newspaper here in Petersburg carried the story about Rangel's planning and zoning meeting. Jackie and I attended that by Zoom, and it was phenomenal what they were able to accomplish in working together. And I'm hoping that Petersburg can take some inspiration from that and do something wonderful in this town too. Micah Klein was interviewed by a reporter from KFSK, so something should be coming out from that. Janine Gibbons spoke before the Tlingit Haida Council about her concerns, some specific to Papke's and the sacredness of that land, and some of the environmental concerns and that kind of thing, but just overall about what towers can do to people and other living things. Erica Warhatch, who had to leave earlier tonight to be with her mom, secured the library for a meeting this Thursday night at 6 o'clock, and was grateful to hear that that it's back on your agenda. Maybe there's a work session, maybe there's something. But the citizens, the residences wanted to get together and learn more about where we are in this process, what we've learned in the last month or so, that we, more of us have been aware of what's going on, and to see how we can work with you, the elected officials, on supporting safety as we go forward in Petersburg. I've been fielding more calls from people who are just learning that the towers are even in play in Petersburg. So I've spent the last 2 weeks, or since I've been here before, I did speak at the planning and zoning meeting here in Petersburg, but also in kind of research and reflection, looking at report, putting together a report on building materials and installation to shield people from the towers that live in proximity, and what would be best for our contractors and best for our home builders. I know that the question of lawsuits came up last time we talked, and I'm not sure what the exact fear about those lawsuits were, but I've been being asked about lawsuits should the towers go in terms of the health risks that are being reported. And then the other thing is, I've just kind of looking at the $50 million grant itself. And I spent 20 years working in Washington, D.C., chairing grant and contract review committees, and not on this subject, you know, specifically, but just taking that big number and wondering how it could have been used really in more more benefit to the people here. I mean, like, if they had used that $50 million to build homes across southeastern Alaska for people who didn't have them, and then gift them Starlink, might have been, as we're looking at it now, a better solution. I know that's not what the grant is. So I'll close now so other people can share whose faces haven't been up before the bureau already. Thank you so much for your work on this and other things. Really appreciate the effort that goes into it.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
My name is Jackie Tyson, and I'm also here talking about the cell towers. And I know that Haynes and Wrangell are fighting hard, and so is Sitka, because like in Sitka, they want to just put all along the road system a huge amount of cell towers. It's like the spacing is, it's like good for like 2 miles. So it's just overkill. And to me, it's like Mr. Cropley is placing these anywhere that he can. And I think we need to be, like this poor fellow over here just got the big shock of his life. It's something that I'd like to have like a work session or something like that, where we just specifically address this issue and come up with something that the possibly that could benefit all of us. Because for example, I talked to Mr. Cropley about, well, what kind of tower are you putting in my property, on the property across from me? He said, I'm putting one of those, just the tower, and he was just gonna put a GCI antenna on it. Then I talked to him yesterday, and it changed completely, and he didn't even know what he was talking about. He said, well, it's gonna be a lattice tower, and it might be 130 to 180 feet tall. It might even be taller than that. And I'm going, I'm just freaking out. You know, that's why I would like to, I had my notes, but my cell phone erased everything, and I'm sorry. So could we at least address this in the future next time and come up with a better plan for Southeast Alaska?
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to it? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name is Tom Kowalski, and I'm a resident here in Petersburg. I own a property on Cornelius up at the top. And this past Saturday, I heard some construction noise on the next road over, Mill Road, right behind my house. And curious to see if somebody's building another home. Homes have been going up there. Last couple of years, two homes have gone up, and it's nice to see development out there, and went out there and come to find out they're building a cell phone tower. It's 250 feet from my property. I looked into it a little bit, and I found out that these cell phone towers pretty massive. It's a muskeg. All the trees there are stunted. The hemlocks and spruce trees, the tallest one, maybe 70 feet tall. This thing's supposed to be 150 foot tall that they're building. And I was shocked. I had no idea this was coming. And yeah, maybe I live under a rock. A lot of us here do. That's why we live here. But I got no notification. I had no idea what's going on. I still don't know what it is. I just found out about it. I have a lot of work to do. But anyway, they've started work on this project already. And I'm a little bit frazzled by the whole situation to start with, mostly because I don't know anything about it. And that's something that I'd like to find out from not just me doing my own homework, but when we discuss this in the future, that we know what we're talking about. The little bit of research I did, it's mostly negative. I found out that there are health issues involved in these things. Cell phone towers now, they put out a lot of power, and some of it's a type of radiation, and the further away from the towers you go, the better you are. But when you're within a certain distance from that tower, you live there, and we have an elderly living in our house. There are people that are prone to the effects of these things. Still, it's not all that well understood. But the more I thought about it and the more I looked into it, the more I realized that this is mostly, it's an eyesore. Once this thing goes up, it's going to be an eyesore. You're going to see this thing, and it's going to smack you in the face. Every time you drive up that street and go to your house, if you live there, you're going to see this thing. And, you know, one of the probably the most common comments I have heard from people that come and visit or come to move here is that the beauty, the scenery here is unmatched. And that's one of the comments I hear more than anything. And this isn't the only tower. I think there's three of them going up. What this is going to do to property values out there, it's going to decrease property values. There is fear. There is real fear. Whether or not it's justified, it's fear. It's out there. It's alive. And if I try to sell my house, it's not going to sell like it would without this fear hindering it. I'm not the only one. There's plenty of properties out there that are either in the process of being sold or going to be on the market. It's a road. There's power. There's water. And it's a place where development has been going on, and there's a future there for further development. But once that tower gets put up, it's going to be very difficult. I want to mention that and bring up the fact that there will need to be some sort of financial reconciliation when that tower goes up and somebody wants to try to sell their home. Lawsuits are very common. There's a precedent. There's a big precedent. There's some here in Alaska, and specifically in Southeast Alaska. Towers, I don't know for sure, but I've heard that there are towers that have been put up and taken down. I do believe there are some locations for these towers that are better aesthetically, better for health, and just better for the community. And I don't know if we can stop that project from happening and work on getting it moved. But, you know, I have a few more things to say, but I'll wait until next time. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. on that tower on Mill Road, and Liz, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they have all the permits and everything and can go into construction. Thank you for your testimony.
Who's putting up the tower? Is it GCI or is it Title?
Title.
Okay. Liz, would you address that, please?
Through the mayor, it's Title Networks.
Hi, I'm Heather O'Neill, representing myself. Petersburg has in many places, many where there are different zones that are mixed, residential lots next to commercial lots and et cetera. In many ways, that's part of what I find charming about our little community. But to keep it that way, I think we should proceed with caution. We also have many codes and ordinances that were written long ago that are still on the books, have not been updated, and, you know, didn't keep up with today's present technology. And so they are just not adequate anymore. Industrial lots and commercial lots too are allowed commercial radio and television transmitters or towers. That's a quote from our codes. Well, is a radio wave the same as a microwave? Like the cell towers put off? I don't know. But when it was written, we all didn't have cell phones. Also, in service area one, that is zoned rural residential, you can erect things or build things or engage in activities that fall under required essential services, which is what I think Title Towers wanted to use when they tried to put, when they talked about putting a tower up behind the McCullums, behind me, the neighbors on the S-curves. So also, I think that when that language was put in, things like cell towers were not foreseen. And I don't think it's appropriate. Those are rural residential lots. There are homes. And due to a lot of opposition, that tower was, I believe, squashed, because it would have come before the Planning Commission had they wanted to go forward with that tower. And so I think that one's been set aside, and maybe they're looking for a different property. Outside of Area 1, you got the folks that aren't zoned. And so it's kind of like anything goes. And they don't know what's coming down the line, and they're afraid of it, what it could be. So I believe that the community of Petersburg should have a say in what and where these controversial towers are placed. Like, how close to homes can they be placed? Like you were saying, the tower that's going up next to my property on Mill Road, that's very close to you. And I've been told that it's a quarter mile is the probably the safest distance, if there's a safe distance. So there's a lot. I wish that you would have a town hall meeting to discuss this with people so that we could kind of maybe come to a consensus, like, okay, this tower shouldn't be within a quarter mile of a place where there is our homes, schools, hospitals, and, you know, the such. You are the only body that can change codes or ordinances. So I'm calling upon you to look into this, update our the language in our codes and ordinances, and make it specific what can and can't be put where, and define, you know, these towers. Because I really don't think commercial radio and television transmitters or towers equals cell towers, and especially the cell towers that are coming down the line, quite possibly. So thank you very much for all the work you do on this and how many times you've had to listen to me. But I do appreciate you and this opportunity to have my say. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk on items unrelated? I'll give you, just a couple minutes, and I do need to move on tonight. Thank you.
I have this book that I ordered, and I've got one coming for the library, and I've got one coming for the assembly. And in it, it talks about the electromagnetic radiation that attacks people. And I want you to know especially that going down Muckluck Lane, the trooper in you, your house, is just at that 1/4 mile limit. And it's very unnerving to speak with Chris Cropley, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. So I'll be really enjoy talking with her to find out. Maybe she doesn't have anything to do with it because it's out of town.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to talk about, talk to things unrelated to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's under board, commission, and committee reports. And with that, SEPA, we have a SEPA update, and I believe since Mr. Hegerman and I attended those meetings, I'll let Mr. Hegerman talk about the update.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So on October 30th, SEPA did have a regular board meeting. These are the highlights from that meeting. The contract for the Tyee third turbine equipment was issued in June 2025. The board discussed two change orders, and both of those were approved at the October meeting. Those change orders involved the addition of generator panels to the contract that were originally planned to be supplied during the construction phase, and also the supply of a hydraulic pressure unit motor starter cabinet. Both these change orders allow the equipment supply contractor to maintain efficiency and continuity when integrating the generating equipment with ancillary equipment. That will be part of the total project. All changes fell within the board approved contract contingency at this time. The board also discussed funding options for the overall Tyee third turbine project. Since SEPA does not have full funding at the present time, several options were discussed, including the use of prospective grant funds and tax credits and potential debt financing. The board ultimately authorized the CEO to seek financing proposals with a focus on ensuring timely project completion and flexible terms when combined with the various grants that are still in the funding stack. The board approved a change to the budget that purchased two turbine air coolers, one for each project site. These purchases are the start of an ongoing project to replace all of the original air coolers at the Swan and Tyee projects, of which there are 8 total at each facility. The significance of improving the cooling of the turbine windings should be seen in improved efficiency of the turbines that will allow higher outputs while controlling winding temperatures. The board was presented a draft budget for FY 2026 and will consider its adoption at the December meeting. And lastly, the board completed the performance evaluation of the CEO and directed the chair and the treasurer to discuss compensation with our chief executive officer. CEO continues to perform at a very high level and to the benefit of all member communities. That's the report.
Thank you, Mr. Hegerman. Any questions for Mr. Hegerman on it? All righty, I'll move on to the mayor's report. The first item under the mayor's report is the housing work session. The assembly and borough staff will hold a work session on January 7th, 2026, I guess I should say, Becky, at noon to discuss housing solutions in Petersburg. The purpose of this session is to review current plans and projects and determine whether additional actions or new plans are necessary to address housing needs. Second is seeking letters of interest. Petersburg Borough is accepting letters of interest for citizens who wish to serve the community by filling one vacancy on the Public Service Advisory Board until the October 20, 2026 municipal election. Letters of interest should be submitted to the clerk at the borough offices located at 12 South Nordic Drive by sending to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or by emailing to beregula@petersburgak.gov. Happy Thanksgiving. The Borough Assembly wishes everyone a happy and healthy Thanksgiving holiday. May we all remember and cherish what we're thankful for in our lives. Last item, the Chamber Tree Lighting Event. The Chamber of Commerce will be hosting the tree lighting event on Friday, November 28th in the Municipal Building parking lot. The event begins with food vendors on Nordic Drive at 5 p.m. Parade lineup with candles between IGA and the Petersburg properties at 5:15 p.m. and the parade kickoff at 5:30 p.m. Come and enjoy the fun with us. And with that, moving on, the manager isn't here tonight. His report is in the package, and I'll not read it tonight, but anybody that's interested can go back and read that report. Moving on to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, an ordinance amending the official zoning maps for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough 2-1 rezone with a condition precedent government lot 21 from open space recreational to single family mobile home and to rezone lot 4 block A Skylark 2 subdivision from single family residential to open space recreational and government lot 13 from public use to open space recreational. This is the second reading. If adopted in three readings, ordinance 2025-14 will rezone the above parcels in connection with the sale of government lot 21 to Skylark LLC under resolution 2025-20. The rezoning to government lot 21 is to allow for the planned development. The rezoning to lot 4 and government lot 13 is to create open recreational space adjacent to the planned development. The condition precedent to to the rezone of lot 21 is the completion of sale to Skylark Park LLC. If the sale is not timely completed, government lot 21 would maintain in its current zoning. Do I have a motion to approve this ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Been moved by Member Valentine, seconded by Member Schwartz. Discussion. Okay, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stan Gregor?
Yes.
Thank you. And that passes unanimously with, with the assembly. Next item is ordinance 2025-15. An ordinance of Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2026 budget for known changes. Second reading. If approved in three readings, this supplemental budget would make changes to the following funds. Closeout Fund 745, Auto Meter Reading Capital Project, by transferring the remaining $15,901.75 to Fund 763, the Electric Grid Resiliency Capital Project Fund. Budget $78,000 in revenues from PIA for the Banana Point Breakwater Improvement Project per Resolution 2025-21. Budget $66,000 for engineering expenses in the wastewater fund, not to exceed $66,000 for time and material to prepare bid-ready documents for repairs to the outfall pipe in Frederick Sound. Budget $25,000 in the wastewater fund to purchase one replacement viable frequency drive due to failure of the existing unit at Pump Station 5 and rebuild the two failed variable frequency drive pumps to service as backup units for future operational needs. A member from Director Morrell regarding the VFDs is attached. Last, budget $195,000 in expenses for new light poles for the downtown street light project. $195,000 in cash is already reserved in this capital project fund for this purpose. Ordinance 2025-15 was unanimously approved in the first reading. Do I have a motion to approve these adjustments?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been approved, been motioned by Member Mucci, a second by Member Valentine. Discussion.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move to make an amendment. I would move to budget an additional $11,000 from the Parks and Recreation Repair and Maintenance Fund to cover repairs to the bleacher roof and dugout at the Mort Fryer ball field that was damaged in the September 2025 windstorm.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. Been moved by Member Stan Gregor, second by Member Mucci. Discussion. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to vote on this. You know, we have this packet of information that's gone through the budget process, and it's always disconcerting for me to come in the evening or whenever the meeting and to look at another budget line item request to make sure that this is, this, and I'm sure it has, but to make sure that this request has gone through the same vetting process that is before us on ordinance 2025-15. That's one of my concerns. The other concern is, on a project like this, do we just sole source this project, or do we, since it's $11,000, do we put an RFP together? Or is this something that we can, I want to make sure that the borough manager has signed off on all this stuff before I included this $11,000 into this budget amendment. So that's my questions, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll pass that back to Director.
Thank you very much, through the mayor. So when a project is estimated to come in under $30,000, then we do not have to go out for additional bids. So we have spoken with Manager Giesbrecht about this. This was how it was suggested to proceed, is to go ahead and ask for the $11,000 to be added to our Parks and Recreation Repairs and Maintenance Fund, and then we will go ahead with the, move forward with a contractor to get all of this stabilized. The big push to get it done right now is because, as you can see in those pictures, the roof over the bleachers is leaning back, and if that accumulates any kind of a snow load, it's going to take it down and cause more damage to the area itself. And that way we can get these things taken care of before it becomes an even more dangerous situation. And so that's why we're unfortunately trying to jump in on the second reading, which we apologize for, but all of this information has just kind of come to us not that long ago in ways to, we've been trying to figure out how to take care of it in other ways, but those other ways have failed, so here we are today.
Does that answer your question, Member Mucci?
Yes, it does, thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Member Valentine?
To Stephanie over there. Is this just to replace this existing structure? So $11,000 is going to do this, or is there going to be kind of renovation, more renovations than we're seeing here?
There is a plan for more renovations up there. As we all know, the ball field needs so much love. But this is just to at least secure these two buildings, the dugout and the bleachers, the cover over the bleachers. That's just for that. We will seek more funding elsewhere for the other renovations and work with the ball field or the Petersburg Little League for that.
Member Schwartz.
I'm just curious, how did you come up with 11,000? Is that materials and then labor, or?
It is, yes, correct. We received one quote so far that was put out, a request was put out for bids. We received one. Actually, Becky Turlin with Petersburg Little League received one, and that is the number of that one.
Is the bidding, sorry.
Go ahead.
Is the bidding still open, or is it done now? It could come in less.
Somebody could come in less, and that would be great if we could do that, which is kind of, then it throws everything off. I just heard from Becky the other day that they might be hearing from a few more, but which is always great. The more bids we can get in, the better. But at the time, she had only received one. And so we need to move forward. Unfortunately, the snow is already flying as we looked at our windows today. So just trying to move forward and get it done in as good of a fiscally responsible way as we can.
Member Mucci, I think you had another question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate that.
Sure.
You know, I probably will be voting no on this. I mean, I think there's some potential to do some other projects up here with this dugout and this bleacher. And I want to make sure that as we're doing it, that we're not just spending $11,000 to stand these two pieces up. I know it's a private, or the Little League kind of runs the area there, but I don't want to spend $11,000 on a project that, and I respect everybody who's been working on this, but I want to make sure that $11,000 is going to be the right fit for that. And I'm concerned that if we don't have any bid documents to do this project, and we expect other people to kind of know that it's happening, I think it puts local contractors in town at a disadvantage of not knowing that this project's out there. So I just want to make sure, I'm going to vote no on it. I don't like the way the process is going. I know we need it, but I'm just one of six, so I'm going to vote against it.
Member Valentine.
Kind of riding off of what he said, just a couple questions. So for the public, this dugout is currently at the field in which the high school uses, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then the second thing, to kind of run off of what Assembly Mucci was saying, could that money also be allocated for a larger project as a whole instead of maybe just a repair? Or, that's my question.
Okay. Is that a larger project for up at the ball field or a larger project in general? Because I have lots of projects at Parks and Recreation. I just saying. Okay. So is that what you're asking it for,
yeah,
specifically at the ball field?
Specifically right here. Yes and no, right?
Yes, correct. Yes and no. I wish that it could do more, but unfortunately the prices of materials and things are just skyrocketing everywhere around us, and it's sad to see that something like this would cost that much.
Do you happen to know when the high school baseball season starts?
I do not.
Okay. And then
April.
And then would this be done before then? At least that's the hope.
That is the hope, okay. And especially for the situation with the roof over the bleachers. Again, that's a time-sensitive one. If it catches a snow load, it's a decent snow load, it will likely take that down and cause more damage.
Yeah,
Member Stan Gregor?
Yeah, thanks. I'm definitely voting yes. This is a project that needs to get done. In terms of bigger picture ball field stuff, I think that's broader discussion. I do not like selling fear. That is not in my nature, so I'm speaking deliberately. No, that's a place where kids play. We got to get that fixed. The snow will come, I mean, that thing collapses. Kids play up there all the time in the winter. It's, again, using my words deliberately, it is a very imminent and acute project. And as the director said, for things under 30,000, we can streamline. It is not a much easier process, and I'm glad you brought it before us. And I'll be voting yes on this amendment for those reasons.
Okay. Any other comments from Assembly? I think I've also been told that we looked at it would be covered by insurance, but it could not be into that. Am I correct?
Correct, yes. Okay. And Manager Giesbrecht was connecting with Petersburg Wrangell Insurance to see how that can be remedied. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. With that, go ahead, Bob.
I'm not quite sure how this works, but is there a way to vote yes, kind of as a placeholder for the 11,000? But who would that be in Parks and Rec's hands after that, once the budget passes, as far as when it gets, how it gets spent?
The way that'll work, if the vote yes is that to go forward, then that gives Stephanie the charge to, you know, move forward however they decide. We haven't picked, she has a proposal for us for $11,000, and I don't think there was in there exactly how she was going to do it.
Correct.
And so that's where it would be, but it would be to allow it to go forward at that point.
Can I add a brief point of information?
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, Member Martin and Clerk Regula, as always, correct me if I'm missing. Since this is an ordinance, it'll have another 2 weeks before another reading. So I suppose, in theory, if some other bid became in lower than that before the final reading, it could be re-amended, I suppose,
yes,
technically speaking, just as a data point.
Just knowing that, is it possible we could wait till the third reading to do this? Is there any harm in that?
No, it could be done. But do you see, I guess the question I would have is, do you see any changes between now and 2 weeks from now?
If we do get a cheaper bid, yeah, I think that that could change things. And we could come in at a lower rate. That would be splendid.
Member Mucci.
Sure, which brings me to my point is, how do we figure out if we're going to get a cheaper rate? I mean, Do we advertise that the borough wants to do this, and we have a list of supplies and lumber that it's going to cost to do this, and we put that out there? Or how does the community know that we're looking for somebody to do this? That's kind of my question. Thank you.
Do you like me to answer that? Okay. Again, we have according to Ms. Turlin, we do have some other bids. She is hoping to get a couple more bids in. So that's where we're at.
Okay.
This is our bid that we have right now. She's got it out there to a couple of more contractors, and I've come across this. You put it out, you ask contractors, and it's like radio silence. And that is what unfortunately has happened with her. And so we got this bid, but just recently she told me she had a couple more bids hopefully to come. Okay. So we're hoping for those, but if not, we at least have one bid to move forward with.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any more questions from the assembly? If not, would the clerk please call the roll on the amendment?
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin? Yes. Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
No.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. Okay, that motion passes 5-1 with Member Mucci voting no on it. And with that, we're back to the main motion that's on the table. And that is to approve the changes, known changes in the budget for fiscal year 2025. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll on the main motion?
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin? Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
That passes unanimously. From there, I'll move on to new business. Under new business, ordinance 2025-16, an ordinance amending chapter 4.04 of the municipal code entitling purchasing to update bid and proposal submission procedures. This is the first reading. If approved in three readings, ordinance 2025-16 will amend chapter 4.04 of the municipal code to modernize and clarify the borough's purchasing requirements by allowing electronic submission of responses to invitations to bid and requests for proposals. Do I have a motion to approve this ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. Seeing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
All right, thank you. And that passes unanimously. I'll move on to the appointment to the Southeast Alaska Power Authority Board of Directors for 2026 of one voting member and one alternate. We have three people have put in to their for this proposal, myself being one of them. And with the assembly's approval, I would like to appoint myself as the voting member back to SEPA with Carl Hegerman for the first 6 months of the year as the alternate since he plans to retire, and with Stephen Harper as the other next 6 month alternate. And the reason from Mr. Hegerman and I discussion was is that getting on this board, there's a lot to learn. And so what that would do is it will allow us to do a little bit of education, Mr. Harper, on power sales agreement, all the contracts that are in motion, and the 4R plan, and lots of other things that are in motion. And without, approval of the assembly, I would allow the three of us to go forward. Okay, thank you. I'll move on to the next one. Next item on the agenda is no longer, we will not appoint a vacant board seat under Alaska law. We discovered today that we have a little glitch in our rules, so we'll pass that on. That's a school board decision. With that, the correspondence for the since October 30th is in the packet. And we'll move on to assembly discussion items. And I believe the assembly member comments, but I want to talk about, I think Member Mucci asked for a discussion on tidal networks.
Cell towers, more or less. Yep, is that me? Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Yeah, as you can see, we have several people in the audience tonight who are still pretty interested in at least some type of discussion, community discussion regarding cell towers. Over the last couple of weeks, when I've been looking into this and chatting with different people, to me, it sounds like there needs to be an updated ordinance within the borough to at least acknowledge cell towers. I mean, I think there's lots of information floating around out there, and I think there's lots of misinformation that could be out there too. And I just don't know how to, I guess, satisfy members of the public who think that the assembly has done all we can to make sure that we've addressed any kind of health and safety concerns. And if that is the case, perhaps the idea would be to have an updated ordinance inside service area one to deal with cell phone. And if we're not going to decide anything on it tonight, but if that's something that the assembly is interested in entertaining, I could see trying to work on an ordinance to kind of maybe focus on cell phone towers within service area one, so we can at least start talking about it. Because from the folks I've talked to, there's a lot of things they'd like to do. And I feel pretty strongly that if I have a piece of private property and I want to sell it to somebody and somebody wants to put something in there, and it's not against the zoning ordinances and stuff, that there's not much the borough can do about that. But I think in the meantime, we could look at the ordinance about what is and not acceptable for cell towers and stuff. And maybe it's something as simple as coming to up front here with an ordinance to start chewing on and trying to sort it out. Then we maybe can address with maybe some platting authority out at outside service area one. But yeah, that's kind of where I was going with the cell towers. Thank you.
Okay, Member Valentine.
I agree with Member Mucci. After being, you know, on the assembly now and still pretty much I'm still learning a lot as well, you know, and you see on just one of the last amendments, we're still amending old codes and stuff. And a lot of it, at least from my view, it doesn't come up until it needs to come up, right? And so now we're in a position where there's public outcry, and it stinks to be on this side because at this point, I don't know how much the borough can really do now, aside from making an ordinance for future things. It sounds like you guys are making groundwork, which is great. And we hear you loud and clear for sure. And so I think the ordinance is probably the best route we can do. And then having on during the last meeting we had here, I believe our manager was saying that it would take a lot to have any kind of to have any kind of authority out at Papke's. So we would lose that time frame. The Mill Road sounds like it's already going up, and then you know, the one end, the borough. So the ordinance is I think the best route to go as an assembly to move forward and do our best to appease the public as best we can. So yeah, thank you.
Member Schwartz.
Yeah, it sounds like it snuck up on all of us. I mean, I came in from fishing and running a tour business, and it was like, what just happened? For every person here that spoke out with concerns, there's probably 20, 30 other people in the community that are concerned. You know, people have known me to talk a lot. Well, since I got this job, I listen a lot. A lot of people talk to me. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to come to a public meeting and speak your mind. There's a lot of people that are very concerned about this. And whatever we can do, whatever, like James says, whatever we have in our authority or power to do now, we should try to do, just to at least give some people some confidence that we're listening and we're gonna do what we can.
Member Martin.
So after the meeting last time, I was talking to some people, and one of the guys, he had health concerns and other more traditional concerns. And he looked at me, he said, well, what good are you as a borough? What good is a borough, basically? And I kind of been thinking about that the last couple of weeks, and I kind of rethinking the idea of some kind of a meeting. I don't know if the work session format is the right one, but some kind of a meeting to talk about what we can do now, what we can do later. And so I'd be more supportive than I was last time.
Other thoughts? Director Cabrera, let you weigh in on, you know, even if we were to start the change, let's say on looking at changing zoning in service area one related to our, in our, on cell towers and so forth. What are we talking, a minimum of 6 months, a year to get an actual ordinance in place?
Probably at least 6 months, you know, and that's knowing what you want. You know, currently we only allow towers in industrial districts and in commercial one and commercial two. And, you know, people are talking about what's happened in Wrangell and what's happened in Sitka. They allow towers in residential districts with conditional use permits. And so those decisions you've seen are them saying no in residential districts. In Petersburg, we wouldn't even consider an application to allow a tower in a residential district. The problem we have is our districts are very mixed together, and people have put houses in, we allow houses in every district, and people have built residences in industrial and commercial districts. If we were to say, just, you know, as you're thinking about this, I'm not telling you what to do, obviously, but just as you're thinking about it, if we were to say we're only going to allow towers in industrial, but they have to be a certain distance from residential, my fear is that we would basically eliminate any tower, which I think would run us afoul with federal law. So, you know, as we move forward, you have to think about that. We're very compact. We have districts that are high intensity and residential right next to each other. And then we have to somehow carve out and be able to pass the red face test that we actually do have places for these towers. And I think that you're going to find it's going to be difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think it's going to be difficult to figure that out. So my two cents.
And then address outside of service area one, if you will, the discussions we've had about we're looking 2 to 3 years as a minimum if we were to put something into effect.
Yeah, outside service area one, you know, you're starting from square one. We would need, I think, a lot of public engagement on what the folks out there wanted, you know, what the tipping point is. You know, you want to allow as much as you can, but at what point do you want a use to have to be a conditional use or go to the Planning Commission? And, you know, where that line gets drawn, that's really driven by the folks that live there. And so that would be a bit of a process to get that input.
And that would include what services? And obviously that's going to raise the mill rate outside of service area one.
So, yeah, planning and zoning is currently something that outside of service area one is not covered in property taxes, but it is an area-wide power, so it doesn't have to necessarily, I don't think, be a service area, but certainly there's a cost to having that service.
Thank you. Other comments from the assembly? Okay. Hearing none. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you. Just a recognition. I had a tour of Power and Light the other day or last week, and Public Works said it was very informative. I think the most interesting thing I learned is that there's 1.6 billion gallons of water up at the hatchery. And if above the hatchery, and that tsunami warning sign that you see out there, that's not for the wave coming in. That's for the wave coming off the hill. And so it was just very interesting. Power and Light, you walk into the place, you could eat off the floor. It seems to be run. Public Works, same way. I'm sure all the departments, same kind of examples. But it was just really interesting to me to see all that stuff and spend some time with the department heads and employees. And I just wanted to say thank you publicly.
Thank you. Any other comments from Member Steinberger?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a few recognitions. I'll start from this weekend and work my way back. They're actually all exclusively swim recognitions. One to all the volunteers that go into November Rain. That is a huge event. People come from all over Southeast to swim at that, and it is heavily staffed by volunteers, so a huge thank you to them. Since I've gotten involved in that club, I've learned firsthand just how much professionalism goes into making that thing run smoothly. And then an individual recognition to Mr. Cyrus Hulebeck, who set a new club record by 0.2 seconds, which is pretty cool. in the 400 IM, which is a grueling race. So really happy for him and his family. Then going back a week to the state swim competition, an individual recognition for Mr. Logan Tao, who is state champion in the 100 freestyle, going out on top, his last time in the pool as a senior. Pretty cool to see. And then just a general recognition for all the swimmers who went for the Viking, like Petersburg Viking swim team, for performing well at state, and some PRs were done, and some seniors got to go out feeling really good. So just a general big swim recognition. Thank you.
Any other recognitions? Member Schwartz.
I'll just add to the swim. Take state title in swimming. You know, I coached for a long time, 2A, 3A. And we wrestle against 4A as well, but the swimmers wrestle against all those, or they swim against all those big schools, and a lot of competition. To take an individual state title at that level is quite an accomplishment. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Other comments? With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moving to second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned.